It's the Shooting USA Podcast, special edition from the 2013 SHOT Show, this time coming to you live from the Bushnell and Uncle Mike's booth. My first guest here, Dave Young. He's a law enforcement trainer and endorser of Uncle Mike's Holster Products. Dave, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, John. It's pretty out here in Vegas, huh?
Yeah, it is. It's desert people aren't really used to this cold.
That's right.
It was interesting. We got into the airport, and the lady who got me onto the rental car shuttle bus was wearing a full one-piece snowmobile outfit with the hood up over her head and the whole bit. And
really?
I was like, we're going snowmobiling.
I had some guys from Wisconsin coming in shorts, so.
Yeah. You know, hey, it's no big deal. We're good. We're good. We can deal with it. So, talk to me about what's been going on at the show. How's everything seem to be received?
No, the show's very well. I think, you know, with a lot of the controversy about concealed carry, buying firearms, you know, one of the most important pieces of purchase besides that firearm is going to be that holster and then that belt that's used to support that holster on the actual body. And you got people with all different shapes and sizes. And usually the holster, we've had a lot of questions on manual lock releases, integrated technology that actually secures the firearm in place. Do I need my fingers to activate it, passwords, special movements? And so the big thing is talking about gross motor skills, making sure they understand drawing the firearm is one of the most stressful situations a person will be in. And you're not going to have a lot of time to remember to grab the weapon and use your fingers to manipulate any safeties or, you know, security features in there that might hinder your ability to draw when you need it.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that I love about the reflex is it's fast. And when I say fast, it is fast enough for me to use in competition, even at my skill level. But with the retention device, I am 100% sure that there is no way I'm going to lose control of my firearm in any kind of a competition environment. That same benefit applies to the law enforcement professional and the concealed carry market.
No, absolutely. When I see you shoot, it's fantastic, you know, and you look at stress levels, and regardless of the goal or the outcome of not being able to get the weapon out, people put a lot of pressures on themselves. And the reality of actually drawing your firearm in a real-world encounter, which is the world I live in, it takes some steps to build people up to that level, and holsters are supposed to support their firearms, not fight against it.
And you've spent a great deal of time testing these things in scenario-based situations with some training with law enforcement people. And it continues, this particular product line, the Reflex, continues to stand the test.
No, absolutely. In fact, you know, if you look at everything on a sunny day, everything works great. But, you know, you got to take these things in situations where you might be, for concealed carry, you might have gotten into a fight prior to that. Mm-hmm. You might have broken your hand. Can you draw the weapon with the other hand? If it has too many buttons to activate, can I actually do them with different fingers? What if I broke the index finger? Do I need my thumb to access the firearm and draw it from the holster? So when you start putting the reflex through a test of dexterity, movement, speed, accuracy, all those things fall in place. So it's one of the best holsters to work in very chaotic situations and still be calm.
It's excellent. The one other thing that I'm very excited about for the line is the advent of the left-handed models.
No, absolutely.
You know, they continue to expand the line in terms of all of the popular manufacturers and the patterns. But now that they're moving to the point where they're ready to start offering the left-handed models, they're really taking care of everybody in the market now.
No, absolutely. The left-handed models are important. But, you know, when they say that 85%, I don't know who gives that stat, is, you know, right-handed, that's what most manufacturers do just to get the larger, the market interest. But the left-handers are going to be out. They're available in the Glock. They'll be available in the M&Ps, the Berettas, the Rugers, the SIGs. If I missed any other firearm, they'll all be covered, the Colts, the Kimbers.
Yep.
The left-handers are really well. It's terrible when you're training a left-handed shooter to say, hey, just do what I do, but do it right-handed. I like to put the holster on and let them see how easy it is to draw and access.
Right. Makes a big difference. Talk a little bit about the training school and the things that you're doing there, the efforts you're doing there.
Well, you know, we actually have full-line instructor programs for police, and I specialize not so much in the marksmanship aspect of drawing a firearm. I like to, let's say, put you on the back, block your right eye, your dominant eye, pull the weapon, access the weapon, draw the weapon, verbally challenge, and then what other fingers can you manipulate the trigger in? Mm-hmm. And triggers, different trigger fingers will change accuracy, especially at greater distances at 10 feet and more. Mm-hmm. So I try to keep everything within 10 feet. Trying to have stress inoculation in your training is very important, whether you're working against a time or you're working against somebody else. But everyone who's listening to this and you do firearms training, whether it's on the law enforcement side for survival, personal protection for survival, your own safety or competition, put yourself against speed and put yourself against performance. Mm-hmm. Make it goal-oriented. Develop consequences for actions.
Right.
Whether you have to do push-ups afterwards, you have to do more draws because you forgot to do it this many times. And employ what's called a 3-to-1 philosophy. If you're going to shoot 50 rounds on the range, you need to pull the weapon or draw the weapon 3 times for every 1 round you shoot. So if you're shooting 50 times, you're going to draw the weapon 150 times. So let's face it, John, right. You being an avid shooter, can't get that weapon out of the holster. You don't even get a chance to go through the course.
Right. Nothing happens until you make the draw. The draw is absolutely one of the most critical steps in the game.
No, and I watch when you guys shoot. You spend a lot of time, and it's smooth, and it's quick, and it's accurate. People try to think they can mimic that just by 5 minutes in their garage.
Right.
And they want to put themselves through the test of you're going to be drawing your weapon while you're moving. So try going up and down stairs, sitting in your car, getting out of your car, and then put some time restrictions on it so you incorporate these things in the shooting.
That's excellent. That's great stuff. And it's not just in your case, it's not just law enforcement training. There's also civilian training.
No, absolutely.
There's also, you know, home defense training, things like that.
Yeah, we do a lot of personal safety classes. You know, I don't really do concealed carry classes. I think they cover a good amount of topics, but look at it like this. Every police officer I've ever trained goes through a 40 hours, myself included, 40 hours of training before we can carry a firearm to save others' lives. Mm-hmm. A civilian should not just go through a 4-hour class to be able to carry a firearm that might only compromise their life, but also compromise the lives of the people around them.
Yep.
So they got to spend time training. I like to offer that training to civilians. We talk about handgun protection and, you know, what kind of force options you have. What are the legalities on drawing? How do you verbally challenge? And there's a lot of loopholes in civilian training. And I'm hoping people say, hey, I want to be a responsible firearms owner. So these are the things I'm obligated to do now that I'm going to carry a weapon. And hopefully we'll start seeing more training in that direction.
Well, it's interesting to me also that, you know, because since we've become connected and we've met each other, you put out on a regular basis through the social networks little personal safety tips. And there was one that has stuck with me, and that was when you board an airplane and you're going to use the overhead storage compartment for your bag, your briefcase, or whatever, don't put it immediately over where you're going to sit, because now you've lost control of it. You've lost the visual contact with that particular bag. Put it on the other side of the aisle so you can keep your eye on it as other people come in and put their things in their place and so on. It's interesting stuff like that that you're passing along, stuff that's really simple that puts a light on in my head anyway. So it's fantastic stuff. Tell the people where they can connect with you and how they can learn stuff like that.
You know, they go to U.S. Fighting Systems at Facebook. My name is Dave Young. I have a lot of information on there. We also have a Facebook and websites for yourfamilydefense.com, usfightingsystems.com, if you're a martial artist. And then the police officers, they go through ARMA training, ARMATraining.com. We give free tips. I'm always willing to talk to somebody, to do a Google Hangout if they got some time and they have a question. And we should have shared information.
Yeah.
Because let's face it, let's say you don't carry a firearm. You might have to use somebody else's. And that could be pretty important information to know at the time you need your life that needs it the most.
Yeah, I mean, that's a zero-fail situation. And if you're not prepared, yeah.
No, it's true. It's a different mindset. You know, carrying a firearm for your own personal safety, you're not only responsible for your safety, but what if that weapon gets taken away from you? Mm-hmm. What if you have to take that weapon away from someone? Mm-hmm. And what if you have to use it? Those are very important components that we try to stress in all of our training programs. And I see that you incorporate a lot of the skills that we've shared together into some of your shooting. So when you usually shoot, how many rounds do you usually shoot at a given time?
In practice?
Yeah.
Are we talking about in a train-up? It can be when it's pistol, let's say, for instance, leading up to a steel match. We'll run 500 rounds in a day, and it's regimented stuff. But I've learned lately that with regard to that, it's not so much volume of fire, it's quality of fire. So instead of a draw and a 5-shot string every time, it'll be 50 rounds of draw and 1 shot. So, you know, timer, quick draw, 1 shot. How fast can I get my first shot off accurately? So starting to tailor the training more towards quality of movement as opposed to quantity of movement.
Yeah, that's real important because, you know, most people think it's the first shot that wins a gunfight.
Right.
It's the first accurate shot. You know, we've all heard phrases from guys like Wyatt Earp, smooth is fast.
Right.
And they got to practice. And if they're not spending that quality time practicing in their home drawing and then matching it with out in the field of shooting, you got to put the two together. But you can't just shoot without actually the drawing and the accessing and the verbally challenging. And you got to throw it all together to make a quality program, as you know as well.
Right. And it's at least coming from my side of shooting sports, the stressor is time. Time, accuracy, competition, how are you doing against the other guys in a level playing field. in your world and in the law enforcement world, in the world of personal protection, the stressor is the fight or flight response, the adrenaline dump. There are so many other aspects to it that have to be addressed.
Oh, yeah. You know, you work in the midbrain under stress. You know, I'm a technical advisor for Dr. Bill Lewinsky at the Force Science Research Center. And they always talk about how you're visually educated in a gun battle or in a fight or in a stressful situation. We get the tunnel vision. You want to make sure that everybody breathes mm-hmm. in through their mouth, out through their nose, or in through their nose, out through their mouth. Have a control of their breathing so they can calm their heart rate down. Mm-hmm. Also, they want to look at movement in conjunction with that. But, you know, prior to even pulling the weapon out, prior to drawing, they got to look at threat assessments. Mm-hmm. One of the tips I'll share with everybody today is not only do you worry about the putting your bags where you can see them in a on an airplane, if you're going to be traveling with a firearm, you're going to be using it for personal protection, put it in a place that a person standing outside your car can't see it. Because mm-hmm. normally you might be pulled off to the side of the road, eating something on the phone, and then have to draw your firearm. They see it sitting on the dash. So if you're going to be carrying it, start worrying about carrying it at home first. Sit and watch TV for 25 minutes to watch an hour. Spend some time letting you build gear familiarity mm-hmm. with your stuff. And then go out to the range and shoot. Mm-hmm. But if the only time you're shooting 50 rounds is when the gun sits on the table and your holster's on your side, you're still not coordinating the draw, because before everybody can shoot, even the bad guy's got to draw his weapon.
Right. And that's part of collectively practicing all of the things involved in shooting. Not just aligning the sights and prepping the trigger and breaking the shot. You have to make the draw, and it's rooted in muscle memory.
No, absolutely. You know, and they say that you'll respond the way you were trained under stress. It's actually you're going to respond the way you remembered it under stress. So if you're not training in stressful conditions, you're really not preparing yourself for that real-world encounter.
Excellent. Good stuff. Dave Young, I appreciate your time.
No, thanks for having me, John. Have a good show.